We're continuing on this this series of topics related to mitzvahs ben adam lechavero. So we started off with lefnei iver hochiach tochiach, and now we're going to do the mitzvah or the concept of arvus of kol yisrael arevim zelazeh. So it really is a segue from last week's discussion. We're discussing the mitzvah of tochacha hochiach tochiach. So we saw, just to review, just the first two sources we saw last week, that the pischei tshuva had this suffix, whether or not a person who is obligation to give tochacha and does not, whether he's responsible for that avera. So if you see a person, let's say, eating cheeseburger and you end up not giving tochacha, are you held accountable for that? And you who missed the opportunity now have an avera and have to do tshuva on that avera? Or no, you just missed out on a mitzvah of tochacha, but it's his avera, not your avera. That was a suffix that we saw discussed in the Pischei Tshuva. And the Pischei Tshuva said that the suffix was really predicated on whether tochacha is midin arvus. He said, if tochacha is midin arvus, so if I see that guy is violating an avera, eating cheeseburgers, and I don't say anything, so midin arvus, it's as if I myself ate that cheeseburger. But if tochacha is not based in arvus, so then it's just an independent mitzvah, so I missed out, I was mevatel, a chance to give tochacha, but it's his avera, not my avera. And we saw the nafkamina was, so let's say you assume tochacha is midin arvus, so it's as if I eat the cheeseburger. So let's say Reuven, I didn't give Reuven the proper tochacha. He ate the cheeseburger. So now let's say Reuven does tshuva. Do I now mimela get tshuva as well? Because my avera is attached to his avera, midin arvus. So the stei chemin has this suffix. If I didn't give tochacha, so his cheeseburger is like I ate the cheeseburger. Reuven does tshuva, I get a complete tshuva. But if you assume that tochacha is not predicated on arvus at all, so just because he did tshuva on his cheeseburger, I still have to do my independent tshuva on tochacha, on the bita say of not giving the proper tochacha. So that's how we got now to the discussion of arvus. So what is the source of arvus? Anyone know the source of arvus?
So yeah. Even if you say it's arvus, it's like I ate a cheeseburger, but so it's two lavim. It's like we both were in avera, so how does his tshuva help me?
So even
if you learn arvus.
We discussed that a little bit last week. We didn't really, go into too depth. But ain't a chanami, because my avera is really because he did an avera. If he didn't do an avera, I would have nothing. I was going to rebuke him. I didn't. He's about to put the cheeseburger in his mouth. I should have given him tochacha, and he did not. So then I don't think I would get the avera of him eating a cheeseburger. It's all about the result. And nothing resulted from that. So what's the source? Happens to be this week's parsha is the source of arvus according to the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Number 3. Gemara Chav Zayin Mebeiz. I assume most people probably would not have guessed that this is the source of arvus, but the pasuk says, most people probably don't know the pasuk either. V'chashlu ish be'achiv, the pasuk says, and they sinned, man against his brother. So it's a very strange thing. It's yachid versus yachid, ish versus achiv, but it says v'chashlu b'lashon rabim. Only one person sinned. The ish sinned, not v'chashlu, not multiple people. And so the Gemara says, ish be'avon achiv milame, to teach me shekulan arvim arevim zebaze. All of us are connected to each other and responsible. So this is the source of arvus according to the simple understanding of this Gemara. So the Marsha just explains that the idea is, because since it says ish be'achiv is lashon yachid, but the chashlu, the avera, that multiple people are responsible, are violating the avera, that is how the Gemara learns the drasha of arvus, that we're responsible for one another to make sure that we are doing mitzvahs and people are not doing what they shouldn't be doing. So that's the source. Now the concept of arvus is a very large topic. We could do a few weeks on this, which we're not going to, in many applications. We're going to just touch a little bit upon the ideas, and there are going to be many questions you're going to have of different applications. Let's just at least touch upon the surface to get some idea of how the nature of arvus works. So number 5, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Chaf Tesem and Aleph, this is the sugya that the arvus really comes from. The source was in Sanhedrin, but the real lumdus comes from this discussion in Rosh Hashanah Chaf Tes. Gemara says that Breid Rebbe Zeira, the son of Rebbe Zeira, said that kol ha-brachos kulan, all brachos, af al pi sheyata motzi. Every bracha, even though I've already fulfilled my obligation, I can be motzi others. The classic example is a person is Yotze's Megillah reading already. He goes to the hospital, goes to other people to lane, so he's allowed to say the bracha for them, even though he's already Yotze the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, af al pi sheyata, he can be motzi others. Tikiyas shofar, even though a person was yotzei the mitzvah of shofar, if he goes to blow for someone who didn't hear it yet, he could say the bracha for him. So it gets a little complicated with the women. Can a man be motzi woman? We'll touch upon a little bit of that towards the end, but the klal is, afal pi sheyotzeh, you could be motzi. How does that work? Because even though I have my personal obligation fulfilled, you don't. And because of Arvus, I'm able to step in and fill in and help you fulfill your mitzvah. When does it not work? With the exception of saying a bracha on bread, a bracha on gafen, on grape juice, wine, shim lo yatza motzi. If I didn't fulfill my obligation, I can be motzi you, but imiyatza, if I already fulfilled it, ain't a motzi. So don't get confused with kiddush and hamotzi at this point. That's a whole other story. We know about kiddush, if even though I was yotze, I can be motzi you again, because that's really, kiddush is really a birchas mitzvah. We're talking about having just a glass of wine.
Even in the morning when the only bracha is
bracha. Exactly. Even in the morning when the only one's a bracha of hagafen, it still is a birchas mitzvah for the kiddush of yom. But if I'm having a glass of wine this morning, there's no mitzvah. So if I say hagafen, I'm yotze myself. You want to drink now, I can't say the hagafen for you if I'm not drinking myself. So that's a whole other discussion. We'll get to why those don't work. Bichal Arvis, but when it comes to Birchas HaMitzvah, Afa Pishe Yotza, I can be motzi you, even though I fulfill my obligation, I can be motzi your obligation.
You can bring together,
you should drink together, what do you mean?
If Ali Shote Yain, Bushote Ledi, Stam, in the middle of the meal, Ochlim, as you should Mvarech Ala Yain, Ulochlishot Gam Yain, as you say it to Beyahad.
I'm not sure. I understand the Hebrew, but I don't understand.
Can I make a shahako for you when you're eating and I'm not?
Right. So birchas
and
then. No, he's saying that.
I'm drinking a cup of water and the other guy's drinking a cup of water at the same time, and I'm going to make a shahako and he's going to listen to my bracha.
Right. So typically we say not. By birchas and then we typically say a person should not be motzi. The only time we say if a person is a case of suffix, he doesn't know what to do. If he said a bracha, wasn't sure, so then he could be yotze. But lichachila, we don't allow birchas and then to cover other people.
So what is he saying? Is he talking birchas anenins or is he talking birchas mitzvah?
No, birchas mitzvah. He said all brachas work except for birchas anenins. Birchas anenins, they don't work.
So when he says chutz mi birchas ayayin, he means chutz mi birchas anenins.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, so it's not specifically lechem.
Exactly. Those are just two prime examples. But enech nami shahakol ha'etz adam. Also, you cannot be motzi that as well.
A little unclear from the lashon.
It is. So what's the nature of Arvus? How does Arvus work? So there's a machlok, it's a very interesting machlok as we showed him between the Ritva and the Ran. The Ritva writes in number 6 that Afa Pisha Mitzos Mutalos Al Kol Echad, even though we each have our individual, our personal obligation, I need to do the mitzvah of shofar. You need to do the mitzvah of shofar. Hare Kol Yisol Arevim Zelazeh. We're all connected, we're mixed together. V'kulam Keguf Echad, we're all considered one physical body. And this is the key point. As if a cosigner is paying off your debt. So you have a debt, and you as a lova can't pay it off, so your friend pays the debt for you. So according to the Ritva, when I fulfill your mitzvah, it's not my obligation. I'm fulfilling your obligation. I'm paying your debt. As opposed to the Ran takes it a little bit further. Number 7, he says, V'cheven shelo yata chaveiro kimi shelo yata hudami. If he hasn't fulfilled it, it's as if I didn't fulfill my chiyuv either. While the Ritva says, no, I'm good. I've got a check mark in my book. He's missing the mitzvah. I'm just helping him out by paying off his debt. But the Ran says, no, when he's lacking, I'm also lacking. I shook the lulav. I blew the shofar. I heard the Megillah. If my friend doesn't have the mitzvah yet, it's kilo. I'm also lacking in my own mitzvah. So that's a big machlokus between the Ritva and the Ran. So what examples? What's the application of this concept? So there's a very interesting machlokas in the Beis Yosef about when it comes to the mitzvah of shechita and the bracha on shechita. The Beis Yosef quotes the Or Zeruah writes, Or Zeruah is one of the Rishonim, he says that an elam, a person who's mute, a person who cannot speak, lo yishchot lichatchila, he's not allowed to shecht an animal, a regular chulin animal. Why? Mipnei she'enu yachol levarach, because he cannot say a bracha. Now, just as a side point, we don't know that the bracha is not ma'akev the shechita. What's the big deal? Lehem shechit, and there's no bracha. You can still get the mitzvah. You can still get the food, still mutar to eat. We have this many places as well when it comes to truma, separating truma. An elam also shouldn't. Why not? There's no mitzvah to say bracha on truma. Still, we see from all these sources that lichachilu, we don't want someone to avoid the bracha. The bracha is not ma'akev the mitzvah, but still considered a very essential part of the mitzvah, and therefore we don't want an elim. Even though his shechita is going to be a good shechita, if he can't say the bracha, we prefer someone else to do a shechita who is capable of saying the bracha. So since he can't say the bracha, elim doesn't shecht according to the Or Zeruah. But the Shulchan Aruch himself in number 9, yeah.
Even though we know that as a klal, the bracha is not ma'akev, if you do ma'aseh mitzvah, it's yosef ma'aseh mitzvah.
Yeah.
Is it, over here, is it because he has is not a pikeach, and there's money, he was not a pikeach? Is that an issue?
That is not the concern here. That could be a concern, you are correct. The first mission in Maseches Chulin says, a cheresh shote v'katan may not do a shechita, even if someone's omen al-gabav, even though someone sees them, because they don't understand what's going on. So an elaim could possibly be a category of a shota, like what you're saying, because he may not know how to learn. But if he's able to hear, so then we assume an elaim can, he's considered a bekeach, and a shechita would be good. So assuming he's a bekeach, he has the knowledge, he has the physical ability to give do a proper shechita, he just can't say the bracha. So therefore, the Or Zeruah says, an elaim should not do shechita, because he can't say the bracha. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins otherwise. Number 9, he writes in Hilchos Shechita, right in the beginning, Hashomei aveinu medaber le im hulo mimcha shochet afilu lichadchila im achem revarech. It's a very simple solution. If the elaim is knowledgeable enough, he's physically capable of shechting it properly, have Reuven say the bracha for him. Afa bishiyata motzi. So why can't someone else say the bracha? And that's a very simple solution. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins, and elaim shechts, and someone else says the bracha. So what was the problem? Why did the Or Zeruah not like this? Why didn't he apply Afa Pishiyatza Motzi? Why didn't he like this suggestion? So the Taz says the following. Taz makes the following chilek in number 10. He says that the idea of Im Yatza Motzi only applies when there's an obligation. It's a mitzvah chiyuvis. When I have an obligation to hear the Megillah, I have an obligation to shake lulav, to hear Megillah, I said already, to blow shofar. So I have a chov, so you could be parei my chov. If there's a debt, there's an obligation to do something. But if there's a mitzvah, which we call mitzvah kiyumis, which is not a chiv, I don't have to shecht an animal. I could get through my whole life and just have fish and milchiks and parv and never have to shecht any animal. So there's no chiv to shecht. It's a mitzvah kiyumis. So it's a rishus. That's not called a chov. I have no obligation to shecht. I have an obligation to shake the lulav. I have an obligation to blow the shofar and to hear the megillah. That's a chiv, the porei my chov. But a mitzvah kiyumis is no obligation. So since there's no chov, there's no obligation to speak of, says the Taz, there's no concept of arvus. Arvus only applies when he's fulfilling my friend's obligation. There's no obligation when it comes to this, and therefore, the Or Zeruah says, no one else could say the bracha for the elim. Elim is not standing there with his debt on his shoulders, needing to shecht. He doesn't need to shecht. So since there's no chov, so there's no concept of afa pisha yatza moti.
Maybe it's talking about bogus.
Well, I think even it could be, but
maybe.
But then he only gets to the ground. Yeah, there's no chov.
Right?
Yeah, the chov. You need to speak of a chov before you even talk about the topic.
Right.
So then that's a very good point. So the Taz is making a very excellent distinction. A mitzvah kiyumis, when there's no obligation, there's no arvus. So if there's no arvus, so how then does a mechaber say that the elim shechs it and Reuven says the bracha for the elim? If there's no arvus, when there's no chiv, so what's Reuven doing? How could he say the bracha if there's no arvus? So says the Taz the following point. If you look at number 10, halfway down, the first word on the line is shezacharti. It's not bold, but right, the next word is ella. Ella de b'shchita nira tamo de achem evarach. You know why the Shulchan Aruch thinks someone else can say the bracha for the elim? The achem evarach shapir, the birchas ha-shchita. This is a very important Taz in terms of the nature of the birchas bracha shchita. The birchas ha-shchita Eino ba al shchita atzma. It's not coming on that particular ma'ase shchita that I'm about to shecht. Deha ein chiyuv l'shchita. Imeino rotu lechel. I never have an obligation to shecht it. Ela iker kavana. What's the nature of the bracha? La seis shevach l'makom baruch hu al she'aser lanu achilas basar below shchita. The nature of this is not a birchas mitzvah. He's saying, in other words, it's not a birchas mitzvah. The birchas shevach v'ada. We know we have different categories of brachas. There's not a birchas mitzvah. Had it been a birchas mitzvah, so then there's no obligation for the elim to shecht, so there's no concept of arvus. This is not a birchas mitzvah. It's a birchas shevach v'ada. To thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the opportunity that he gave us, that we don't eat unless it's shecht at first. Ubazeh, with regards to that type of bracha, v'adai kol Yisrael shayach b'osa bracha. Everyone is shayach to this mitzvah, whether you're shechting or not. Sharei al kulam yesh isr. Everyone has that equal obligation or prohibition of eating it. Ela she'ein makom levarach shevach zeh ela b'sha'a shchita shum behema. Meaning we could say bracha now. thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the mitzvah of shechting it. But of course, it's only appropriate to say it when we're doing the actual shechita, but it's not a really bracha on that ma'isa shechita. It's not a birchas a mitzvah. It's a birchas shevach v'hodah, in which case you can apply the concept of arvus, that it's not really arvus. It's really just, you need to say a bracha of shevach v'hodah. You need to say a bracha when you see lightning. But you don't say a bracha now when there's no lightning. You connect the shevach v'hodah to a certain event. So anyone could say it, even though I, as the Elam, I'm doing the mitzvah, he's saying a bracha not on the mitzvah. It's just a bracha shevach v'hodah, given the circumstances, given that event that's taking place right now. He brings a proof to this. How come under the chuppah, who's doing the mitzvah of getting married? The chassan. But who's saying the bracha? The Masada Kedushin. What's the Masada Kedushin having to do? Yeah, he's making sure everything is done halachically correct. But he's not doing any mitzvah. It's the chassan that's doing the mitzvah. How come the Masada Kedushin says the bracha of birchas erusin? So there as well, according to a number of Rishonim, the birchas erusin is not a birchas a mitzvah. The birchas shevach v'hodah. So anyone could say that. We're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for these sets of rules. When do we say it? When there's the context of a chuppah. Whoever's doing the chuppah, anyone can really say that bracha. So to shechita, we all could say the bracha on shechita. We just have to have the proper context. So Elam, there's a shechita, and Reuven is the one who's saying the bracha.
So next time I'm on a chasana, I can sit in the audience and make the birchas shevach v'hodah?
You can, yeah, for sure. You're able to do it.
And does he hold this by all mitzvos kiyumis?
Arvus does not work by kiyumis.
No, that all mitzvahs kiyumis, someone else can make the
birchas. No, there's a difference. No. Mitzvah kiyumis was a birchas mitzvah on a kiyumis, then there's no arvus. It's not a birchas mitzvah, there's a birchas shevach v'hodah.
Okay. How does he establish that fact by shechita?
He doesn't prove it. That's his assumption.
The raya is that by kiddushin, the minhag olam is that the chassan doesn't make the bracha. But the minhag olam by shechita is the sheikh, it makes the bracha.
You're great. I agree. He does not have a raya.
That's why it works here.
How does Shulchan Aruch know? Shulchan Aruch says that way. How does Shulchan Aruch know? What's the Shulchan Aruch source? He's assuming that it's correct, but Birchas Erusin, there are good rayas, because Machlokas Ramam Rush, whether Kedushin's a mitzvah or not a mitzvah, and they explicitly say, is it a Birchas a mitzvah, or it's a Birchas a shevach. By Shechita, I'm not familiar with anyone other than the Taz who says a Birchas a shevach. So it's a great point, there is no raya, he doesn't bring any rayas, he just says there's no other way to explain the Shulchan Aruch, but how does Shulchan Aruch know this? Pasha Pshat really is that the Shulchan Aruch thinks Arvus does apply by a mitzvah kumis. That is the Pashup Shah. But Taz doesn't learn that way, and he has this big chiddush that shechita is really a bircha shechita, it's really a bircha shevach v'odah. It's similar and slightly differently, but similar to another concept by Sfiras Omer. Just a little bit of side point for a moment. Since we're in Sfiras Omer right now, there's a Taz, a different Taz, that says, the person, let's say, it's based on the Shulchan Aruch, says a bracha, and he says the wrong day. And then he quickly changes the right day, within Toch Kdei Dibur. Do you have to say, did that bracha he said, was it covered on that the change of the correct bracha, the correct day? I mean, he said today is 10, today is 11. Should he have said a new bracha before saying 11, or not?
But some of the tzvira has to be before you make the bracha, you have to know what day it is, right?
You have to be aware of some sort. So the Taz brings a proof from a Tosfos in brachos, who quotes you Yushamim. A guy picks up an apple, and he says a bracha on the apple, and it falls on the floor and it's all filthy in the mud. You're not going to eat that apple. So now you have a new apple to pick up. The Yushalmi says you need to say a new bracha, because my das was on that first apple, not on the second apple. So Taz says the same thing. My sphere was on the bracha day 10, but it was really day 11. My bracha didn't work. I need to say a new bracha. Comes along Mishabura, quoting many achorim, that says, no, it actually does work. If I switch within Toch Kdei Dibur from 10 to quickly 11, that was a good bracha. So they all ask, how does that work? My das was on day 10, not day 11. So Shar Tzion quotes from one of the Achronim, I forget who, that the bracha of Sfiras Omer is not on the particular day. It's a general Sfiras Omer on the concept of Sfiras Omer. It's not a Shevach V'odah necessarily, but let's assume that bracha on the concept of Sfiras Omer, the Shevach V'odah, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Sfiras Omer, so anyone could say it on any day because it's just a generic bracha on the concept of Sfiras Omer, which is somewhat similar to the idea of, Birchas Erusin and Birchas Shechita as well, according to the Taz here.
What's the
Lashon on the Brachah and Shechita? I assume Al
Shechita,
but I think it's Al Shechita. That Liv versus Al is a big discussion, Psachim Daf Zayin, in a five-way machlokas, which we show them how know what that difference is. Is it about totsah or is it versus maisa? It's a larger discussion, but you can't prove anything right off the bat just from al versus le, I don't think. Okay. Now, what about arvus? We saw that arvus is based on a pasuk in the Torah, this week's parsha. What about mitzos midirabanim? There's room to say that maybe arvus should only work on things that are mentioned in the Torah itself, Torah shebichsav. What about dine dirabanim? Would it apply to that as well? So it's based on this Rashi, number 11. Rashi was commenting as to why birchas alechem, birchas ayayin are not subject to arvus. So the Rashi writes there in Rosh Hashanah, vishar birchas peros v'rechani, other types of brachas on shakol, adama, eitz, all those are included. Why those examples were chosen, I'm not sure. But rechani also on birchas areach, and smelling, it doesn't work. So she'eino chova, there's no obligation to ever eat these types of foods. Ela she'aser lehanos min ha'olam hazeh below bracha. So if you read this Rashi alone, what would you think pshat on this Rashi? What's he trying to tell you? So to me, it sounds like this is exactly what the Taz said, that only a mitzvah chiyuvis or a bracha chiyuvis can you say arvis, but a bracha that's not a chiyuv, eino chove ela aser le'anos. I don't have to eat this candy, but if I want to, I can't eat it without a bracha. So there's no obligation. This sounds like exactly the distinction the Taz said between a chiyuvis versus chiyuvis. But the Yom HaTshuva, one of the Achronim on Rosh Hashanah, argues. He says, no, you know why birchas nenin, why arvis doesn't work, but birchas nenin? Because there are mitzvah, there are brachos that are only midirabanan. And arvis doesn't work on dinei dirabanan. Benching? Benching works. Benching is a mitzvah deraisa. Arvis does work for benching, which itself is a whole other discussion, whether really that's true. But the Yom HaTshuva writes that arvis only applies to dinei deraisa, not to dinei dirabanan. So look at the Primer Gadam, one of the Suffolk Primer Gadam has a number 13. He says, Nistapakti, I'm not sure, Had the Kaimalan Kol Yisrael Arivim Zebezeh, that which we know all the Jews are responsible for each other, Umishim Hachi, and that's the basis of Alfal Pishiyot Emotzi, I don't know, Imudavka Betor Shebechsav HaMefurash, that something's explicitly written in the Torah like shofar, like lulav, Aval Torah Shebal Peh, Halach Mosh Mesinai, Odrosho, Echem Yigim Amidos, Yeshlomer Alzeh, Lo Nichnesu Ba'arvis, but things that are not explicit in the Torah, things that are only learned out, they're deraisa, but only derived through drashas, maybe arvus doesn't extend itself all the way to those dinim as well. You bothered by that, yeah?
If he's going to make a distinction that birchas hanenin means rabbanan, what did Rav Zera mean by kol habrachos kulan? Then he only meant benching and maybe birchas torah.
Exactly. I was wondering the same thing. It seemed that this, I also don't agree with this diik from Rashi. Rashi clearly says the difference is between chiyav versus kiyam. Right. So I'm not comfortable with this either. I have the same problem. Kol brachos is one bracha, maybe two. Yeah, I agree 100%. And he did add, well, he does add in here, the bracha achron on yayin might be their isa also. Okay. So okay, exact kol is not all, it's 2-3. But I agree, yes.
But he said only brachot, mitzvot bina Torah. But there's some mitzvot bina Torah, but now it's the Rabbanan, kemo sfirat ha'omer. But hazan can motzi other.
It's a very, very good question. Well, there's a difference between brachos and mitzvahs. In terms of brachos, we have birchas hamazon, maybe birchas haTorah, and maybe bracha achron shel yayim. Mitzvos are a whole other level. I think the idea is if there's ever a mitzvah deraisa, the bracha, even though the bracha is derabanan, that's part of the mitzvah deraisa. In terms of your point, sfiras omer bizman hazeh derabanan, that's a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam actually holds it's a deraisa, even bizman hazeh. But you're right, this would be all relevant questions, whether you could say a mitzvah that once upon a time was deraisa, but bizman hazeh might be there, but things might change according to these poskim. So now a really interesting discussion comes up in Birchas HaMazon, number 14. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Mem Chesam Alf tells us that liolam eina motzi es harabim yidei chovason ad sheyochel kizayis dagan. That a person does not, cannot be motzi others unless he himself ate some food. So let's say you have a group of people sitting down, they had eaten a meal, I didn't eat, I come, I want to bench on their behalf. It doesn't work. I need to first eat in order to bench. So there's a Rashi, which I'm not going to read, it's a bit confusing, but it's interesting Rashi nonetheless, the two shitas. But the basic question is, afa pishiyata motzi. Don't we have the concept that I should be able to motzi other people? I was yotzi my mitzvah of shofar. I can still make a bracha for your shofar. I was yotzi the mitzvah of kriyas megillah. I can still say a second bracha for you. How come when it comes to benching, I can only be motzi you if I ate something? Any suggestions? So I'll tell you what Tosas says. Tosas writes in number 16. Gadol shehu bar chiyuva min haTorah, ki achal kidei sviya mechuyah bedavar karinim be. I mean, you have to be considered a mechuyah bedavar. You have to be someone who's chayiv and obligated to do a mitzvah. So Megillah, all of us are chayiv on Purim. When it comes to Sukkah, we're all chayvin, Sukkah, Lulav. Let's say a person, a guy from Yerushalayim is visiting on Yudalad Adar, or Adar, switching the days of lading. It gets a little confusing without, you know, you might have to take on the Minhagim where you are. But let's just say a guy from Yerushalayim plans to go back to Yerushalayim for Tesvav Adar lading. Can he be motzi me on Yudalad? I'm chayv today. He's not chayv today. So the idea is that you have to be included in that mitzvah to be motzi someone else. So now, if I did not eat, so I'm not included in the mitzvah. So that's why I can't bench me. That's pashup shah. But look what the Tosas writes. Tosas writes, when a person eats a kadeh sviya, he eats enough to satisfy him. Mechuyah b'davar karina bay. Afilu loacha klal. Really, even if he ate nothing, he would be able to be motzi to others. Kedamrina b'rash hashana chavtes. Kwa bracha zafa pishi yatsa motzi. Chutzim birchas alechem birchas ayayim. So if that's the case, behind time b'dechol yisal arevim zebazeh. Who had birchas hamazon? So I should be able to motzi you, even though I didn't eat anything. Avapi sheyatza motzi. Pishas kazayis k'dagan ein otzarach. I don't need to eat anything. Ela sheyuchal lomar shechalnu mishalo. What's the problem? When you bench, you say shechalnu mishalo. That's part of the benching. Part of the zimun shechalnu mishalo, that we ate. If I didn't eat, I can't say those words. So there's a technical problem in the nusach atvila. Yes, in theory, if Ava Pisha Yatza Motzi, I could Motzi your benching even though I ate nothing. But since the Nusach is to say Shechalnu Mishalo that we ate, that's false. I did not eat anything. And that's why you have to at least eat a Kezias in order to Motzi others. That's what the Bircha, that's what the Tosus explains.
So we say if it's only two people, though.
Ah, very good. The Mishnah Berurah points it out. Yeah. Mishnah Berurah says, according to this Tosfos, if only two people are there and there's no Zimun, in Echanami you'd be allowed to. We'll see that in just a second. But the Ritva argues, the Ritva number 17 says otherwise. He gives a different reason why you can't be motzi others. Ubevadai de bebirkas amazon, kevin shekvar achol kebirkas chovahi, ubedinhu apa pishyatsu motzi, el durabanan, really I should be able to be motzi even though I didn't eat anything. El durabanan bo shiyotzi latzmo, it's going to be confusing. What's going to happen? If I showed up to the table, I didn't eat a thing, and they said, oh, why don't you bench for us? So if I bench for them without eating anything, people might think, oh, maybe birchas hanenin, the bracha rishona, I could do the same thing. I could say mizonos for you even though I'm not eating, and that's not true. It doesn't work by mizonos, but it works by benching. So to avoid any confusion, the Ritva explains you can never, ever be motzi anyone whether bracha rishona or bracha achrona. So to Eliot's point, even if there are two people who are there and there is no nusach of shechalnu, there's no zimun, the Ritva says you still will not be able to motzi others. So that's an afkamina that the Mishnah Berurah says in number 19. We'll read that inside just to see this clearly. The Mishnah Berurah writes in number 19, he quotes a Magen Avraham, shemestapek dilfizeh imheim rak shtayim, like Eliot said, if they're just two, dibalav hachi, even without me showing up here, ain't a mezamnin, they wouldn't make a zimun. If my friend doesn't know how to say a bracha, I can be motzim, even though I didn't eat anything. However, the Magen Avraham is mitzadeh lehachmir. In the end, he ends up being stringent. He's not really comfortable giving such a heter like that. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this ritva as a proof that yes, the idea is that Chachamim said that no one is ever able to bench for someone else if they didn't eat anything, because a chashash that if we allow me to bench without eating anything, they might lead to saying a bracha rishona without eating anything either.
Benching without eating anything is worse, because it's
daraisa. Benching without eating is worse.
In terms of like saying the brachas and everything, isn't
that? No, but if you have once you have the concept of arvus, so arvus says that I'm allowed to. The only reason why not is because either Tosu says Shechalnu Mishalo is part of the Nusach of Zimun, which is false, I can't lie, and the Ritva says it just leads to confusion of maybe Bircha Rishona also I could do the same thing, which is not the case. But really, aside from those two concerns, you'd be allowed to. Arvis says, that's the whole concept, that you can be motzi others, even though I didn't do any, I have no obligation myself personally. It just shows out the communal obligation that we have for each other. Okay, let's do one last piece here. And this is where the most tricky discussions come up, is when it comes to the women's roles in mitzvahs. So number 20 is a well-known Gemara in Brachos Daf Chaf Amud Beis. And the Gemara is dealing with whether or not women are chayv in benching Mudaraisa or not. And let's read this Gemara together inside. Amar Le Ravina Le Rava, Noshim Bebirchas HaMazon Deraisa O Dirabanan. Our women's obligation to bench, is it Deraisa or Dirabanan? Now on one hand you'd say, well, why wouldn't they be chayv? It's not a mitzvah asei shezman grama, it's not time-bound. Whenever you eat is when you're obligated to bench. So what would the idea to think that women are exempt on a Deraisa level of benching? Anyone remember what Rashi or Tosfos say? Brischa Tarascha, they don't have, we say Brischa Tarascha, no Delacha. They're obviously not Bechlal Bris and not Bechlal Torah either. There's no Chiv to learn. So those are some reasons as to why women are Pater. Another explanation is, anyone know the other explanation? Ashen Chalta Lavosenu, that they have no Chelik Ba'aretz either. Now on that point, Tosfos has a fascinating question. He says, wait a second then. Well, so what? Tosfos, they point that out, but even beside that, they say, Kohanim and Levim, we have no Chelik Baretz, so does that mean we're also part there from benching Midaraisa? Don't get any ideas here, but Midaraisa, maybe there's no benching. So Taka, I think the Shulta Giburim writes in the back there that the obligation for Kohanim and Levim are actually only Midirabanan. We don't pass them that way, otherwise you can't be Motzi, all of us who are Chayv Deraisa, but that's what the Shulta Giburim writes. What the Magen Avraham, I believe, says there is that, no, of course we got Chelik Baretz, at least the Levim did. What was the Chelik Baretz that we got? Yeah, Ari Mikla. Ari Mikla. That's our chelik, Ari Mikla, where we live. That was given to us by Toras Chaluka, the Yerushalmi says. So I'll find a side discussion there. But back to the Gemara, there's a machlokas whether women are chayiv midiraisa or the chayiv midirabanan. So the Gemara says, who cares? What's the big deal? The Gemara says, the nafkamina is la fuke rabim yidei chavasan. Can they be motzi others? So if I'm having my meal and my wife's having her meal, can she be motzi me my birchas hamazon? Well, if my obligation is deraisa, and her obligation is derabanan, so since they're not the same level, you can't allow a midirabanan chiv to fulfill a deraisa chiv. So that's the nafkamina. So on this discussion, the Rush says the following point, a very important yisod in Arvus, number 21. The Rush writes, the last couple lines in bold here, she'arev hu bavuram v'alav hu lahatilam min ha'avon, that's obligation of each and every Jew to help the other person from not violating an avera or fulfilling a mitzvah, who lift her also min ha'mitzvos, aval isha eino bechlal ha'arvus. Women were never included in this. I don't know if it's based on the lashon of the pasuk said in the beginning. We had that pasuk, v'chashlu ish be'achiv. It might be based on that. I don't remember. I don't know if the Rush actually brings a raya or not. Pashup Shad is based on this psukim. It's talking about ish la'achiv, man to a brother. So isha eino bechlal ha'arvus, lechach eino motzia elamishi chiyuva midirabanan. So since women's obligation in benching, we conclude, is only midirabanan, because brischa, terascha, vintchatel avasenu, so they cannot fulfill our chiyuvim, and since our obligations are deraisa. All right, arvus does not apply to women. So the so look at the Shulchan Aruch. It's very relevant when it comes to kiddush. I think we, Mike, remember that, learning this once in Frisch, Rabbi Ari Pearl. Mishmar? We learned this with him, and I think 10th grade Mishmar, we learned this piece of Kiddush, men being votes to women.
Which week? Tomorrow.
That much, it was one of the first weeks. I was actually fascinated by it. And anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 22, Simon Reish Ayin Aleph, Siv Beis. Remember when the Athletics won the... Okay, Shulchan Aruch writes, Noshim Chayavos B'Kiddush, women are obligated in Kiddush just as much as men are. Afa pishu mitzvahs aseh shehaz mangram. Even though we know Kiddush is a time-bound mitzvah, it's only once a week, it's on Shabbos, women are still obligated. How would we know they're obligated? The Gemara quotes, Shechonar quotes the Gemara, Mishum de'itzka shezachar l'shamor. There's a connection of aser shedibros, shamor v'zachar, b'dibur echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said both words at the very same time, to tell me, honey, nashi, whoever's chayv in shmira, which are the los aseh, women are chayv in all los aseh, with the exception of how many? Are they not chayvin in?
Losses.
Yeah, how many losses are they potter from?
I think it's
two. Three. No, three? What are the three?
Losakif.
Losakif?
Yeah. Two haircuts.
The beard. And Tumas Kohanim, right? The beard, the haircut, the peos, and the Tumas Kohanim. Here, why this? The Gemara, the Mishnah Kedushin counts them as three. Either way, so they're chayiv in all other lavim. So certainly they're chayiv in the lav of Shmira of Shabbos. So sin shamar v'zachar b'dibur echad, just like the chayiv in Shmir, kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zichir, the chayiv in the positive mitzvahs, namely Kiddush. So therefore, the Shulchan Aruch concludes they can be motzi men, because they both have a deraisa obligation. Benching the obligation for women is derabanan, so it can't be motzi a man's deraisa chiv. But Kiddush is a deraisa chiv for a woman, and therefore they can be motzi a man's obligation. So the Magen Avraham writes, number 23, it's pashut that a katan may not be motzi a woman, his mother. He can't be motzi his mother. Because a katan's obligation is chinuch, which is only derabanan. His mother's chiv is deraisa. So in this conversation, we have plenty of time, so let's read this inside further. Let's say the katan is 13 years old. He just became bar mitzvah. So now he's chayv deraisa. But we know, yes.
Well, forgive me. If she's only having... She's a chayv deraisa for what? For benching?
Kiddush. We're talking Kiddush now. Kiddush, yeah.
But if he's a katan, like what about that example like in Megillah? Like, it could be a trade darabanan versus one darabanan where he cannot...
Correct. That's another example. That would be trade darabanan to one darabanan. This is one darabanan, though, of chinuch. And she has deraisa. Your case of Megillah is she's chayv midirbanan of Megillah. He's chayv two derbanans. Megillah itself is derbanan, and he's a katan.
Yeah,
exactly. But right now we're talking about deraisa versus derbanan, and he can't be motzi. But let's say he's 13, he just became bar mitzvah. L'chor, he should be able to be motzi his mother. The Magen Avraham writes, since he's a suffolk, we don't know. Part of his aging and maturing is he has to have shesaros, has to go through puberty. And we don't know, we don't check. But when it comes to mitzvahs midirabanan, we assume he's grown enough. When it comes to mitzvahs deraisa, though, we have a chazak, we assume he's not fully gone through puberty, unless we see that he has a full, decent-sized beard on his face. Other than that, we assume he's not. Does not have shesaros. So even a ben yud gimel may not necessarily motzi his own mother.
He should be making kiddush in his bar mitzvah.
He should not be, exactly. He should not be, exactly. Yeah, is that it? Yeah. Very good. So the Dag Miravava writes in number 24, about reading just the bowl now, about Imkvar Hispala Arvis, let's say she davened the Arvis already and said Vayachulu. So now the Vayachulu really is a fulfillment of the Kiddush. So, exactly. Now her obligation is to say it on Kiddush on Yayin. That's only the Rabbanan. The Rais is to say Vayachulu, the Rabbanan is Al Yayin. So now Kvar Yatzi Dechava, she's already fulfilled her Derais obligation. So now her Yud Gi, her 13-year-old boy, son, can be motzi, because now his obligation is Derabanan. Her obligation now just dropped down to her Derabanan as well, since she said Vayachulu, and now they're on the same playing field, they can be motzi each other. That's what he says. But then he says, look further down the Dag Mervava, halfway down the page, the bold Amnom. What I'm not sure about is, afilu beisha makadesh umotzi ishu bnei beso, im anashim lowest palu arvis. Now, what happens? We go to shul, we say vayachulu, and the wife too busy. She doesn't daven necessarily. She didn't say vayachulu, so she still has the derais obligation of saying vayachulu. But ours is knocked down because we already said vayachulu twice in shul. So our obligation is only derabanan to say it again al hayayin. So how we motzi our wives? Let me go back home. She has a deraisa obligation now. She hasn't yet said it. Mind only midirabanim. So he says, "Im hanashim lo is palu arvis va'ish kvar is palu arvis." He ready daven. Im kain ha'ish einu mechuyim natora va'nashim shelo is palu chayavos minatora. Im yotzin b'shmiyasin minaish, is the woman, the wife, going to be yotzin with her husband? Afapi shall call brachos af shiyatsa motzi. Ah, arvis. Let's plug in arvis. It works perfectly here. Afapi shiyatsa motzi. So even though I was yotze, I can be motzi here. Doesn't work. Because arvis, last two lines, ha'isha einu bechlal arvis, lechach einu motziya elamishi chuyu b'darabanan. We just saw on the rush. Women are not included in the concept of arvis. So I can be motzer. Our level obligations are different. Arvis is not going to be plugged in here either. So what should happen here? What's the etza? So the etza is either your wife says kiddush for you, it happens, or that have her say vayichulu on her own first, on a fulfill her deraisa level obligation. This way you're both in the same playing field under a bun and he could be motzer. So that was the discussion. That was a suffix he had. But comes along Rabbi Kiva and
say the husband could maybe still make kiddush because the arvis works the other way.
So he then, no? Exactly, that's right. Let's look at the last line. Very good. Number five, the top two lines. He says,
if she's not b'chal avros, shouldn't it go in the other direction?
So that's what he's not sure about.
That's what he's saying.
If you look at the last two lines of the Dogma of Avra, the top of page number 5, Shapir Motzi Aisha Sa'isha Afshek Faryat. So maybe it can work. Because he wanted to say that even though women cannot be Motzi others to Arvis, but maybe a man can be Motzi woman. Arvis goes in only one direction. She can't be Motzi others, but he can be Motzi her. That's his suffix. So in the end of the day, Rabbi Kiva Eger comes to save, I imagine, what happens in most homes here. The number 25, Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, we'll read just the bowl and then we'll stop here. Lo Nira King. This whole discussion doesn't seem correct to me. The Eina Chilek Klal Bein Ish L'Isha Lin in Arvis. There's no distinction. We don't find this anywhere. That's not true at all. Look at the next paragraph. The Rush only said the concept because women's the beginning of Chiv in the first place by benching is only Midirabanim. That's why Arvis is not working for women by benching. But a mitzvah that women have the same starting off chiyuv as men, like kiddush, that both of us have a chiyuv deraisa, so then shaych bu gam kein dina diatzimotzi, in which case arvus does work. So Rabbi Kiva Eger says, even though the wife didn't say vayichulu, and her level of chiyuv is deraisa, and we said vayichulu, and ours currently is only derabanan, since starting off, the chiyuv was both deraisa, arvus does work, women are included, and you can be motzi your wife when you come home. Next week, there's not going to be shir, I'm not going to be around, but Mirta Shem after Shavuos, we'll pick some other sugya to discuss. Okay, have a great day.